Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book that we love, from Genesis 11. Now,
the whole earth had one language and the same words.
And as they migrated from the east,
they came upon a plain
in the land of Shinar
and settled there.
And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks
and burn them thoroughly.
And they had brick for stone
and bitumen for mortar.
Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city.
And a tower with its top in the heavens.
And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built.
And the Lord said,
behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech.
So, scattered there, the Lord from face left city building.
So, them abroad from over the scattered earth.
Os et if Gnib lib fa es dana.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city.
Therefore, it was called Babel.
Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth.
And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Thanks for these who have lived in it in preparation for this morning. May your word always wash us, always live in us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, welcome to the second half of the 2013 summer session of the IWS. Hope everybody's got a second wind and ready to charge into the what we have left to do here. It's impossible for me to think and talk about the grand multicultural mission of God, the Missio Dei, without considering Babel and Pentecost. And we'll talk about Babel this morning. We'll talk about Pentecost tomorrow. And you know, Babel gets kind of a bad name. I've always thought of it as kind of a bad thing. You have the hubris of humankind thinking that we can do anything, that it's all about us, and then God scattering them. It makes sense that it gets sort of a bad name, a bum rap. I mean, if I understand correctly, the term comes from the word balel, which means jumble or confuse or confound. And so we we understand that part of it, the downside, the negative baggage of Babel. But also, the word Babel literally means the gate of God. So I think there's more to consider here than just the confusion that happened. I think that Babel is as much about the beginnings of bridge building as it is about God setting boundaries. I want to share a poem with you. I love the poetry of Gerard Manley Hopkins. And a book that I mentioned here a couple of years ago, but written by a Sri Lankan theologian, Vinod Ramachandra, Subverting Global Myths, begins with this poem. It's Gerard Manley Hopkins. It was a hard thing to undo this knot. The rainbow shines, but only in the thought of him who looks. Yet not in that alone, for who makes rainbows by invention? And many standing round a waterfall see one bow each. Yet not the same for all, but each a handbreadth further than the next. The sun on falling water writes the text, which yet is in the eye or in the thought. It was a hard thing to undo this knot. And God certainly tied a knot on that day at Babel that's pretty hard to undo. There are many interesting quotes about language. Here are a couple I really like. Language shapes the way we think and determines what we think about. It sets the stage. Change your language and you change your thoughts. I want to think about both the restraining effects of Babel and the surprisingly empowering effects of Babel. When this first dawned on me would have been back, I think it would have been the 80s, when the novel Love in the Time of Cholera was published. And I usually don't take on big, hefty novels. That's my wife's department. She goes through two or three a week. For some odd reason, I got fascinated with the reviews that I'd read of Love in the Time of Cholera, so I began to wade through this novel. Now, I come from South Texas, and I'm not bilingual, but everybody in South Texas has a little Spanish. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you're hanging out with so many Latino people, you hear it, you just pick it up. When I read Love in the Time of Cholera, it dawned on me the differences, amazing differences in languages dawned on me, because I knew enough Spanish to be able to tell that this book, while originally composed in Spanish, had been very carefully and sensitively translated into English. The way I knew that is that there were certain things expressed and certain ways of expressing things that would have never occurred had they originated in English. They could only have originated in another tongue, and in this particular case, in Spanish. And it was beautiful to me. It was beautiful to me to the point of moving me to tears. I think about that regarding various cultures. Could Gaudí, Picasso, and Cervantes emerged anywhere other than Spain? I think not. If you've ever been to Spain, been around Spanish people, heard the language, gotten the context, you understand the ferment, you understand the petri dish that would have grown these great creative minds and thinkers. Could Japanese woodblock prints, kabuki theater, or haiku ever have emerged from anywhere except Japan? I think not. I've never been to Japan, but I've been around a few Japanese people, and I think that it's the language that sets the stage for the ferment out of which these things can grow. Now, whether or not you are Paul and Nancy Nethercott finding a way to find connection make contact with Japanese people, whether you're David Gallagher doing that with the Spanish, whether you're me trying to figure out how to relate to your Latino lawnman who speaks virtually no English, whether you are relating to anyone else, someone who's hired you for a project, your spouse, your neighbor, a homeless person. I want to call us all, challenge us all to stop, look, listen, and learn. Learn just a few words in another person's language. I bet you didn't know that you could sing something in Urdu until this morning. We were all singing praises and prayers to the Almighty in Urdu. Thank you, Eric Sarwar, and those who led us. Learn just a few words in another person's language, their verbal language, their body language, their love language. Bridges can be built. Connections can be made. And God's multicultural mission can live and move in us. Come, Lord, do that in us, we pray.